What's your skincare routine? How important is the food that we put into our bodies as it relates to skincare? Are there any supplements that people can take to improve their skin? Are there any overhyped skincare tools that just don't work? Dr. Shaw, welcome to Sauna Sessions. We're not in a sauna, but you know, you're in Miami, I'm in Portugal. It's hot in both places, not quite a sauna. Thank you for jumping in. Thank you for jumping on. How's everything in your life? How's everything?
All is good. Thank you for having me on. In fact, I was in a sauna yesterday with one of my friends, and it was one of these, like, it was really built for one person in our apartment complex. So we're just sitting next to each other like sardines, essentially, not making any eye contact with each other, but having a conversation because we're just so close. I mean, we spent like 30 minutes in there and recharged. It's one of those infrared saunas. I don't know if you're a big sauna guy and that's why it's called this. So I don't know what your experience versus the steam saunas versus these infrared saunas.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that. Well, we film in the infrared, but also I love the dry sauna. I do both. I switch it up. You know, I try not to let my body know my next move. So I switch it up from time to time. But actually, let's jump into that, because I'd love to know your routine when it comes to, first, obviously, skincare. You're a world-renowned dermatologist. You've got millions of subscribers, fans. You give out so much valuable information on your YouTube channel. I see the plaque behind you. You're just crushing it. And, you know, skincare is such it's an important topic. As a man, I never really learned about skincare or took care of my skin. I just thought, you know, it is what it is. Just wash your face in the morning and just go about your day. But yeah, what's your skincare routine? And also is because I know the infrared sauna, you know, with the collagen that it stimulates, apparently, is that a thing that you do as well?
I think with skincare, you really have to be deliberate, especially if you've ever walked into a Sephora or an Ulta or whatever they have in Portugal nowadays is like the major retailer for skincare. There are so many options and they range from inexpensive to very, very expensive. And I think a lot of people believe that if you spend more money on skincare, that your skin is somehow going to be better. But on social media, when we first started creating content, we were really trying to cut through a lot of the noise that was out there in the beauty space, because we really felt like people were being scammed or they were spending a lot of money on products that didn't work or weren't appropriate for them. So to start off with all people, I could tell you my skincare routine and I will go through that in a second here, but I do think anyone listening to this is going to think, well, if I follow his routine, my skin will be like his. So the reason why I intro with that is because my issues with skin is that I'm trying to improve my skin texture. And I'm trying to have anti-aging benefits with my skincare, get rid of wrinkles, fine lines, and just age in a healthy way. So if those are your goals, similar to mine, then the routine will fit for you. But if your goals are to treat acne or hyperpigmentation or other skin conditions, it's not going to be the best routine for you. So for me, I have the simplest skincare routine, a three-step skincare routine. I start with a very gentle cleanser. It can be from any brand that you find a gentle cleanser from. They're very reputable brands, but you can really spend under $20 for something like this. La Roche-Posay, CeraVe, great brands. Then I use a treatment that's targeting wrinkles and texture. This can range from something like tretinoin, which is a prescription retinoid, and over-the-counter retinol, or something exfoliating like lactic acid or glycolic acid at night, then follow with a moisturizer. So three steps. And then in the morning, cleanser, and then sunscreen. And that's really all that I use in my daily skincare routine. Now, there are other things that I'll do, like you mentioned. I'll use LED light. I'll have some procedures done in the office, like microneedling. But the core of my routine, my daily thing that's going to keep my skin healthy is that simple three-step skincare routine day and night.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, I have a question, personal question for you, because I've done a lot of research on skincare and tried a bunch of different products. And it seems to me, my experience is, like, I'm very simple like you. I don't even have a three-step. I still have kind of like when I feel like it, I put some like Noxzema something moisturizer on. I do have like a retinol too and like vitamin C. What I've noticed is like I get a bit scared because I've found that when I start putting products on my skin, I get a pimple or pimples like in the next few days. What is that? And I don't know if that's a common thing or if it's just me. Why does it happen like that?
There's two things that could be happening with that. And this is a common occurrence, which is why a lot of people do feel like the skincare, I guess, industry is a scam, because they try products and then their skin gets worse. And they sort of wonder like, why even buy products? Like, am I just now complicating my routine for no additional benefit? But if you really know what you're looking for and what products to look for and understand how the skin works, it all can kind of make a little bit sense. So there's two reasons why you may suddenly start breaking out once you start using skincare products. One, you're using a product that is comedogenic, or what we call pore clogging. So you're putting something on the skin. It's essentially trapping dirt, debris, bacteria into your pores, and that leads to a pimple to form. So you know, you want to look for products that say that they're non-comedogenic. It's really not a perfect science. It doesn't mean that it's not going to clog your pores. Maybe you're a little bit more sensitive than other people. And then the second reason that that can happen, and this is probably the more common reason, say, for example, you start using a retinol. And retinol has anti-aging benefits. It boosts collagen. But what it also does is it speeds up the skin cell turnover. So normally your skin starts at the basement layer of the skin, and it reproduces basically every 28 days, where immature skin cell starts at the bottom and then it becomes a mature skin cell and then it becomes the top layer of the skin. And this happens usually over a month period. Well, let's say that you start using a retinol and that speeds up the skin cell turnover process to, let's say, half. So now your skin's turning over every 14 days. So if you have something trapped underneath the skin, like a pimple that's giving you texture to your skin, but it's not fully out, it's not fully a pimple yet, it's going to accelerate the release of that pimple. Now, it may look like your skin is getting worse at first, but really what it's doing is it's pushing all that out so that your skin will be clear in the coming days. And so you have to kind of get through that period, but a lot of people quit at month one because their skin looks worse. And so you got to get to month three, where all of those pimples that were trapped underneath the skin get pushed out, essentially.
Interesting. Okay. Got it. I guess it's kind of like growing a beard, right? Like you got to get through the part where it looks crazy if you want to.
That's a perfect, I've never seen anyone make that example, but that's a perfect example for men, because you're right. During that scraggly phase, the beards can look horrible, right? And you're just like, yeah, if I get it through, I keep brushing it, I keep applying my beard oil. You know, when you get to the other side of it, it's going to look better. But a lot of people, they quit because they're like, I can't do this for the next 2 weeks. You know?
Got it. One product that I also used that I think David Sinclair had recommended, he's like a Harvard professor, anti-aging, longevity specialist, hyaluronic acid. Mm-hmm, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so hyaluronic acid has gotten a lot of hype. It's almost become like a buzzword in products. If you really look at most of your moisturizers that are out there, like your simple drugstore moisturizers, most of them are going to have hyaluronic acid or something that works similar to hyaluronic acid as a moisturizer. Now, hyaluronic acid alone can actually cause a lot of problems with people's skin, and I don't think it's like a very important part of a skincare routine. For example, like before I would shoot a video like this, applying hyaluronic acid could be nice because it's going to plump your skin. It's going to give you that dewy glow. It's going to give you that hydrated glow, but it's only going to last a few hours. It's not going to really have any long-term benefits on the skin. And so hyaluronic acid is a humectant, which holds on to water. And basically, it's pulling all the water around you into it. So if you live in a very dry climate, it can pull water out of your skin, actually make your skin more dry. If you live in a very humid environment, it can pull water from the environment and bring it to the top layer of the skin. And it gets even more complex than that. And I don't want to make people's lives any more complex, but really well-formulated hyaluronic acid products should have a high molecular weight hyaluronic acid in it, because if you simply use low molecular weight hyaluronic acid, it will actually irritate your skin more than if you don't use anything at all. And so it's a little bit more nuanced than that, but the brands that I love and I recommend are the ones that have the higher molecular weight hyaluronic acids that actually do hydrate and give you that nice dewy glow. So it's a little nuanced, but I would say it's something that you do not need in your skincare routine.
But maybe before a video or a photo shoot, it could be useful.
Exactly.
I travel to India a lot. One of my best friends, she's like a teacher, a guru, and very beautiful. You know, in India, they have like the Ayurvedic medicine and whole culture there. And one thing she had told me that I never forgot, she was like, if you can't eat it, don't put it on your skin. It made sense to me logically, but because it's like, okay, it has to go somewhere. If you're putting chemicals or stuff with fragrances or something, it goes into your skin. What do you think about that concept, that principle?
It's a good concept in theory, right? If it's edible, it must be safe for human consumption. So it's probably safe to put on your skin. But there are tons of things, right? Like I like spicy food a lot, right? I'm actually South Asian as well. So I'm very familiar with Ayurvedic medicine and, you know, all the different things that come out of that. And I actually do believe that there is a lot of wisdom in ancient medicine that as Westerners, we cannot fully comprehend why, you know, for 3,000 years, they've been using turmeric on the skin, and we're just now realizing the benefits of turmeric on the skin. So I do think that we believe we know everything in Western medicine, but really it's that ancient wisdom that, and I can give you some examples of this, where we've actually discovered things from ancient medicine that turned out to be very medicinal in Western medicine as well. And so there is wisdom in that for sure. I just don't think it applies across the board. Like I was saying, I like spicy food, right? And I put chili peppers in everything. And like, you wouldn't want to put that on your skin, right? Like, we can agree with that, right? Just because like it's safe for consumption doesn't mean it's safe for the skin, and vice versa, right? Just because it's safe for the skin doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, safe for consumption. So there's lots of things that are basically synthetically created in a lab that have been shown to be extremely safe and extremely effective for the skin. And putting food on the skin is actually an interesting study that they've actually done on this. So some people will buy turmeric powder and they'll create their own home remedies with it and put it on the face. And they've actually tested turmeric in the stores because the active component of turmeric is curcumin. And they've looked at different types of turmeric powders that you can find in a store. And they've compared the concentration of curcumin between one powder batch and another powder batch, and it can vary up to 500%. And so there's no standardization between the powder of turmeric you're finding in the store. And if you buy a skincare product that says it has this percentage of turmeric in it, it's going to be consistently that percent most of the time. And so I do think compounding these into a formula that makes sense is probably where you're going to see the best benefits over creating these home remedies that you see in Ayurvedic medicine. So I think the best world is where you take the wisdom from Ayurvedic medicine, combine it with skincare products that we can actually commercialize.
Well said, standardized. We know exactly what's in it. Yep, totally agree. Well, I guess on that note, how important, you know, we're talking about food here. How important is the food that we put into our bodies as it relates to skincare and skin health, I guess?
This is something where we are just super far behind in the science of dermatology, is understanding the relationship between the gut health, nutrition, and skin health. And as you can imagine, it can be a sort of a difficult science, right? So say, for example, you're trying to study whether or not chocolate causes acne. This has been debated for a long time. But I eat some chocolate as part of the study, but I'm not only going to eat chocolate for a month, right? So I'm going to drink some dairy. I'm also going to have some fried chicken. I'm also going to eat a quesadilla. And by the end of this 1 month study where I'm trying to decide whether or not chocolate is increasing my acne, it becomes very difficult to standardize whether or not there's something else confounding this that's causing my acne. And so it's just so difficult to know that there's a to prove a correlation between certain foods and bad skin and certain foods and good skin. There's just way too many confounding variables. I do feel strongly, so you'll see some people online, dermatologists especially, say that diet does not play a big role in the skin. I kind of differ from that because I look at the body as like one giant unit, right? You're not separate from the different systems of your body. If you're not taking care of your heart, it's going to reflect in your kidneys. It's going to reflect in your liver. It's also going to reflect in your skin. And so I always say what's good for the heart is also probably going to be good for the skin. And one of the best things for the heart is the Mediterranean diet. And so it's an anti-inflammatory diet, and anti-inflammatory diets tend to be beneficial, in my opinion, for the skin.
Love the Mediterranean diet. It got popular. There was a Netflix doc recently that came out Blue Zone, Dan Buettner's work that has been like decades of work traveling the world. And yeah, just I think it's proven. It really is kind of the best diet we got out there. So much evidence. What about supplements? Right. Are there any, you know, collagen peptides or MSM? Are there any supplements that people can take to improve their skin?
Yeah, I've seen a lot on this as well. And supplements are just a tough space because, again, there's so many conflicting variables between what you're taking and what else you're taking. But theoretically, right, you know, if you take something, you ingest something into the body, it could potentially help the skin. The issue is it going to actually travel to the skin? Is it a concentration that's high enough that's going to have effect on the skin? It's all a very, very difficult science. Now, some people will say taking resveratrol can have anti-aging benefits if you take it by mouth. And then some recent studies basically disproved that. And so it seems to go, again, back and forth with all of this. For example, like zinc has been shown to help with acne. Niacinamide or vitamin B3 has been helpful for acne. But then you'll find another study where it says that it's basically inconclusive whether it's helpful. There are studies that say that biotin is good for hair growth. And then there's a bunch of other studies that say biotin doesn't help at all with hair growth. And so you're kind of stuck as a scientist who wants to be accurate more often than they're not accurate. So as a content creator, that's a science-backed content creator, every time you make content that then becomes disproven, it hurts your credibility a little bit. And it's not because you're wrong. It's just because the science is constantly changing because it's not concrete. And so when we talk about nutrition and the skin, you're going to oftentimes be wrong more often than you're going to be right, just because, like I said, it's very, very difficult to prove. Now, I think turmeric is helpful for the skin. I think zinc is probably helpful for the skin. These collagen peptides, initially, I was very much against them because to me, it didn't make too much sense. Now, some evolving science has maybe shifted me a little bit more open to the idea. So this is another thing where I think as somebody who's a science creator, you need to have the humility to be wrong and you need to have the humility to change to adapting science. And so the idea with collagen peptides and what my criticism was, if you take collagen, which is a very large molecule, there's almost no way on earth that that peptide is going to travel to the skin and deposit itself in the skin and give you healthier skin. I'm like, there's just no way. Scientifically, it doesn't make any sense. Now, there's new data coming out saying that basically if you cut down the collagen into tiny little peptides, that those peptides can travel to the skin. And it basically tells your body that you have damaged collagen because they're only fragments of collagen, if that makes sense. And having fragments of collagen give you the building blocks and can also stimulate your body to say, hey, you need to create more collagen because you're having some collagen breakdown because we see these little peptides that are signaling to our body that you need to make more collagen. That theory makes a little bit of sense to me. Now the question is, what brand do you buy? I have no idea. So that's where I kind of draw the line. I'm like, maybe collagen peptides can be beneficial. I just would need to find a brand that I would think would be reputable and would make sense and would have the right peptides to actually work in the skin.
You're really pure when it comes to the science. You're not dogmatic, you know, and a lot of people practice not science, but scientism. We can get locked into this belief, and, you know, science is provisional, right? It always changes. And yeah, you said it can hurt your credibility, but I think it enhances it, you know, to be able to show, actually, I changed my mind on this because new data came out. You know, to be that flexible and malleable, it should.
It should. But you know how the internet works, right? So say, for example, I make a video and I say oral collagen supplements are useless. And I say it like with a lot of gravitas, right? And someone cuts that and then they put it next to my most recent video where I'm like, this is the be all end all, right? And so there is a point where people say, well, you said this before and now you're saying this. And are you now saying this because you're getting paid to say this? And, you know, I think people are skeptical because they've been burned by a lot of people that they've trusted online. And so you just have to, and I think part of it is being transparent and saying, hey, I was wrong because of this. And I'm not in a sponsored way. You need to like sort of bring your audience along for the journey. And I do think that people will give you grace if you bring them along for the journey.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I mean, a true scientist, I don't think ever comes to a conclusion. I think that you have to use language like appears to be, the evidence suggests such and such, but it's no certainties. But yeah, the internet is a wild place, man. I've been on it for 15 years. People chop everything and make you look crazy.
Exactly.
Speaking of crazy, what crazy ideas do you feel like we have when it comes to skincare should be changed? Are there any myths? I think every industry has them, right? Like you look at the fitness industry, it's like waist trainers. Are there any overhyped skincare tools that just don't work?
Yeah, there's quite a bit out there. You know, the beauty industry is booming. Everybody wants to look younger. Everybody wants to have perfect skin. And so it's easy to sell people, to create insecurities and then essentially sell them the solution, right? You know, we see things all the time that say, hey, you know, do you have this? And, oh, well, we have the remedy for this, right? And then now all of a sudden you're thinking about this thing and you're like, I wasn't even worried about it. And now that you've pointed it out, I feel like I have to do something about this. And so there's a lot of that, right? You know, if you think about the basics, right? If a lot of my male followers, you know, are really, hey, I just want to know what I have to do so I don't get skin cancer, or I don't really look a lot older than my age because my skin's not healthy. And so, you know, I think the simplicity of it is that if you just use sunscreen and a cleanser, you know, you're probably going to be better off than 90% of people that are even spending a lot more money on skincare because they're missing sort of the basic steps. So in the simplest form, you know, cleanser, sunscreen, you're really just going to be fine at that point. But I would say that there's a lot out there that just simply doesn't work. You'll see all these different types of facial tools that people scrape over the skin. You'll see these microcurrent devices that have really not been proven. You'll see all kinds of different masks and lights and things that just simply don't work. You'll see all these, you know, different skincare products that will be called like the cloud moisturizer or something like that. And it's like, what's a cloud moisturizer? What does that do? There's so much stuff like that. And so the myths that I always like to debunk are, one, like you don't need expensive skincare. Two, you don't need a complex skincare routine. Three, you don't need all these devices unless it actually makes sense how they work. It's interesting because we started this conversation with infrared and light essentially. And light is actually one of the few types of devices that have been proven through stimulation of collagen, like you had mentioned earlier. So LED, especially red light, can stimulate fibroblasts to produce more collagen, which can have anti-aging benefits. And this has been shown in many, many different studies. And so when you take something like that, you see a light-based device, you're probably thinking to yourself, this is bogus, right? But then it's the challenge of the brands and industry to prove to us that it works and give us good science that, you know, why does it work? How does it work? And does it make sense? Is it worth wasting your money on it? And so I do think the LED industry has done a good job proving that, where a lot of other skincare devices out there have not done a good job proving that. So really, I think, like I said, simplicity is key, but then these other devices you can add in, but you know, most of them are going to be a scam and they're probably not going to be worth your money, especially if you're not consistent with them.
Awesome. So for infrared, I see people, they have these like big face helmets or something that they wear. Is there a brand you recommend or something like when it comes to that?
You know, Ellie, so infrared is, I believe the wavelength is above 750 nanometers. Now, the science with infrared and anti-aging, it's there for sure. It's been shown to be beneficial. There's more studies on red light, which is more in like 600 to 700 nanometer wavelength. I like the masks that do essentially red light for anti-aging and in that 600 to 700 nanometer range. The one that I like the most is from Cure, Q-U-R-E. It's affordable. It's at least more affordable than most of the options out there. It syncs with the app. It also does blue light for acne. It has more lights than most of them do. I think that one is a really good one. And then, you know, getting them done at the office too can be powerful as well. But what you really want to look for, especially in the United States, is something that's quote unquote FDA cleared. And so that kind of holds up to the standards of matching what you need at the power that you need in order for it to be safe and effective for the skin. And so there are a lot of FDA cleared masks out there. Find one that's affordable, one that you like, be consistent with it. Do I think it's necessary? Again, it's an addition. It definitely has benefits. But if you were going to put your money towards the device, I do think that LED would be the way to go.
On the subject of light, let's talk about the greatest light source, which is the sun. You mentioned sunscreen. Now, I don't want to challenge or anything like that, but I question, because we need the sun, we need penetration. Should we always, every time we go outside, put on sunscreen? Are there moments where we should just kind of just go out, almost naked, nothing on our face. What do you suggest?
You'll see, especially dermatologists online, a lot of other beauty creators as well, that, you know, have become basically sun phobic, where any exposure to light is going to be to the detriment of your life. Now, I do think that sunlight is the biggest contributor to skin aging. There's no question about that. I mean, I see patients every day in the office where if you look at their face and neck and hands and arms, the areas that really get the most sun exposure day to day versus their chest and their, you know, under their underwear, the age difference, skin quality is so much different just from simple sun exposure. So for a fact, like, this is not a debatable fact, that sun is a huge contributor to skin aging. It also is a massive contributor to skin cancer and to hyperpigmentation. So there's no question that the sun causes issues with the skin. We do know that the sun specifically targets DNA to cause DNA damage that your body has to then fix. So when you get a sunburn or even low-level light of sun exposure, your skin basically forms these pyrimidine dimers. It's actually a change in your DNA that then your body has to go and repair constantly. But our body has repair mechanisms to deal with this. We've evolved, essentially, our skin has essentially evolved to the point where we're expected to get some degree of sun exposure. And the more melanin that you have in the skin, the more protected you are essentially from the environment, right? So if you have very, very light skin and every time you go out in the skin, you burn, then wearing sunscreen every day probably is going to be beneficial to you, because it's not going to be very comfortable for you if you're getting burnt every time that you're out in the sun. So the question, like, I'll kind of address it in multiple phases. Do you need to be obsessive to the point, you know, that we were having this debate on our channel, you know, someone, my partner who I do YouTube with was saying that he's going to start putting sunscreen in his hair because he's going to find a hair sunscreen. And I'm like, well, that's a little bit ridiculous. You know, like, I mean, how much sun exposure is our scalps getting if you have hair? It's definitely some, but it's minimal, right? Like, but if you're bald, you can definitely get a lot of sun exposure to the point where you're getting sunburns and also even skin cancers. We see a lot of skin cancers on the scalp. So I don't think that you need to be obsessive where you're applying sunscreen every 2 hours, every day, all over the body. A little bit of sun exposure is probably not going to hurt you in a material way. I do like when people get in the habit of wearing sunscreen at least once a day on the face and on the hands, just to prevent that. One, to get in the habit of it so you're doing it, especially when you're getting high UV exposure, but also just because I do think that it is a major contributor to aging, skin cancer, and hyperpigmentation. You do, this is a fact, the major source of vitamin D comes from the sun. So, you know, cholesterol in your skin is converted to vitamin D from sun exposure. And so about 80% of the vitamin D in your body actually comes from sun exposure under normal conditions. Even people who don't wear sunscreen, though, are a lot of times, especially in the West, vitamin D deficient. So, you know, even when not wearing sunscreen, a lot of people are vitamin D deficient. And there's really no evidence that wearing sunscreen contributes to vitamin D deficiency, because you're still going to get exposure through your clothes. You're still going to get exposure through your scalp and other areas. And so a lot of people worry about vitamin D. I do think you'll get enough sun exposure to create enough vitamin D. And if you weren't, and a lot of people aren't even without sunscreen, taking a vitamin D supplement is safer than baking out in the sun to get your vitamin D levels where they are. I also think that sun exposure does contribute to mood, right? So if you get some sun exposure, especially seasonally, it does help with people's mood. So I don't want people to just like stay in a dark room all day just because you're going to get a wrinkle or a dark spot, or, you know, maybe get a little sun exposure that's going to mutate a cell. I really don't think that that's worth it. You have to live your life and enjoy life and the beauty of life, and you have to smile more. And when you smile more, you get wrinkles, and that's okay. So, you know, there is definitely a balance between all of this. I don't think that sunscreens are toxic the way that, you know, some media has made it out to be. I do think that they are protective. I do think the sun causes issues with the skin, but I do think that people kind of go overboard with the sunscreen thing, if that makes sense. That was a long rant to basically say that there's a balance, I guess, in life.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I put on sunscreen maybe a handful of times in my entire life. You know, hearing your work and, you know, the things I hear just on the science of it, as far as aging too, the neck, that's a great point. The neck aging is crucial, in the hand. So you suggest if you put on, and I guess the same would apply for your skincare regimen as well, not just the face, but also the neck. You should put the same things on the neck and the hands.
Yeah. So bringing your skincare routine to other parts of the body, especially if you have excess, is a really easy way to, because one of the things we see again too is a lot of people's necks will look a lot older than their face, because a lot of people are using their sunscreens on their face and then they neglect their neck and their neck looks older and then they want to fix that. And it's always difficult to treat. It's better to prevent almost always. And so if you have extra sunscreen, for sure, bring it down to the neck. If you have extra retinol, for sure, bring it down to the neck and onto the hands. Now the neck can be a little bit more sensitive than the face. So you know, just be cautious with some of the stronger actives that we have out there. But most of the time people can tolerate most of the stuff they put on their face on the neck. And so there's no harm and actually quite a lot of benefit of bringing your entire skincare routine from your face down to your neck and onto the back of the hands for sure.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's a game changer for me. I had not known, but it makes total sense. It makes total sense. Wow. Your partner, he was thinking about sunscreen on the scalp. And scalp health, I think, is also something that I don't know if it gets a lot of mainstream attention. I actually found out recently something about dandruff. The dandruff was caused by a fungus, which I was like, I thought it was just dry skin or something like that. It was actually caused by a fungus. Are there any healthy scalp tips?
And a lot of people, you know, they don't think about the relationship between the scalp and the hair and how the scalp is essentially the skin, and the scalp is like, let's say that it's like a plant, and you know, the flowers is the hair that comes out of it, right? Well, the scalp then essentially is like the soil, right? And if the soil is not healthy, then the hair is not going to be healthy either. And you know, I think dandruff is a great example of this. Like you mentioned, it is caused by a yeast or a fungus on the skin that overgrows, and that overgrowth leads to inflammation, and that inflammation leads to flaking of the skin on the scalp. And so a lot of people think, okay, well, what if I just exfoliate away the dead skin cells? But you've not treated the root cause, which is the fungus. And so you're just constantly going to be exfoliating, and then it's going to grow back. But if you treat the root cause, which is that overgrowth of yeast and fungus, your scalp will be healthier, your hair will be healthier, and that flaking will go away. And so trying to identify what the root cause of issues is super critical. I do think it's actually interesting that you've identified this. And I don't know how much you focus on the beauty industry, but you know, I kind of watch it like every day, right? And what's coming in and what people are focusing on. And there has been a massive shift over this year towards hair. More than we've ever seen before. And I kind of predicted that this would happen because I felt like skincare was getting really saturated and that people would start focusing on hair care and bond repair. Because before that, we only had maybe one or two brands that were actually focusing on that. Like you had a brand called Olaplex that focused a lot on repairing the shaft of the hair and, you know, leading to healthier hair. And now you have this boom. So if you walk into Sephora now, almost everything that's new and growing, like their what's new category, is almost all hair products now, because a lot of people are focusing on scalp health and hair. So I think you've sort of identified this really growing niche here that I think a lot of consumers aren't really recognizing happening in the industry, but people are starting to treat their scalps the way that they treat the rest of their skin. And if you're somebody who, I don't know if you growing up used to spend a lot of time in the shower or the bath, where you'd read the bottles of the backs of shampoo bottles at all. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
Not me.
No. Okay. So I used to lay in the bath and I would just read all the names, and I'm like, wow, that's a long name. Like, what does that mean? And I'd try to like memorize the back of shampoo bottles. And maybe that's where my ingredient focus and passion. The reason why I bring that up is because for, you know, 3 years I've been educating on the skin, and I'm always telling people, avoid this ingredient, look for this ingredient. This ingredient is going to cause a lot of irritation and allergy. This one is really good. And then you look at the back of your shampoo bottles or your conditioner bottles, and they go away from, they move away from everything that we believe about good, healthy skin, right? They use very strong surfactants, which is what's going to remove the dirt, debris, but they're very strong and irritating to the scalp. but they're not just irritating to the scalp. Those things drip down onto the face and onto the back and cause issues. They use a lot of very comedogenic or pore clogging ingredients, which then if you have long hair, that those long hairs are going to sit on your back and cause back acne. We have a lot of fragrances. We have a lot of allergens in these hair care products that, you know, by just the nature of you washing them off are going to trickle down to the rest of your body. And so now you're seeing this sort of revolution in hair care that's happening. And I'm really glad to see it as a dermatologist, because I do think hair care products were causing more issues than people realize.
It actually has got me thinking about laundry detergents as well, because that is all over your skin, right? What you wash your clothes with, it goes on your skin. What, do you have any knowledge or insight into that?
Yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned this. I think you've basically cracked the whole skincare industry on this podcast and not even realized it. You know, it all makes sense, right? Because you're thinking, okay, what else am I coming in contact with that could potentially be causing problems? My body wash, my deodorant, my, you know, my perfumes. But, you know, one of the things that people never think about, again, is your laundry detergent. In dermatology, we think about this because we see the worst of the worst. And that's part of the reason why I do think dermatologists are a little bit biased when they create content. Hardly anyone comes into the dermatologist because they just have healthy skin and want to say hi to you, right? They come to you with a pathology. They come to you with a problem. They want you to solve that problem. And a lot of that at times is people have developed an allergic reaction, or they have eczema or atopic dermatitis where their skin barrier is really disrupted. And so they're coming to you because they have this problem and they want you to fix it. So with that being said, a lot of what we see in dermatology is the worst case scenarios of everything, which is why we're like, oh, you have to wear sunscreen every minute of every day. It's because we see the people with the skin cancers all the time. Well, we don't see the people that don't have skin cancers, right? So the people that do fine aren't coming into the dermatologist because their skin is fine. So we see these very extreme forms of everything. And part of our education, especially on people who have sensitive skin, who are breaking out in rashes all the time, there's groups of people who have what we call eczema that come in and they're constantly breaking out in itchy rashes all over the body. And they have to limit everything that they come in contact with that could be potentially a problem. And we, a lot of times, will start with, okay, what type of cleansers are you using? What kind of moisturizers are you using? What kind of hand soaps are you using? And then part of that discussion always goes to what laundry detergent are you using and what's in it? And so you've sort of come to the idea that everything you come in contact with can be a problem. And so there are brands of laundry detergents like Free and Clear that reduce the allergens, right? They're fragrance free. And a lot of our patients with eczema end up on these very gentle forms of detergents for this very reason that you explained.
How often would you say somebody should come in to get a checkup by a dermatologist or get checked for skin cancer? Very common cancer. How often would you say we should get checked?
There's no real actual recommendation based on like all the science that's out there. What I would say is if you have a problem, come in, you know, especially if you're trying to solve it at home and you really haven't, it hasn't gotten better. And that could be anything, right? Like how much it bothers you. If you have mild acne, like a few bumps that come up and it really bothers you and you just can't fix it with what's available online, then come see us. If you have severe acne and it's scarring, come see us for sure. If you have a weird bump on your skin and you're not sure what it is and, you know, your wife or your significant other or your mom is telling you, go get that thing checked out, it's weird, go get it checked out for sure, because we see all kinds of weird cancers like that. So there are times where it's an emergency to come in, and sometimes it's just kind of a luxury to come in and get checked up and get something fixed or repaired or something you don't like. And so for the most part, most people, I would say, come in with a problem. As far as the checkup, I think if you have a family history of skin cancer, a personal history of skin cancer, if you are somebody who goes out in the sun and gets burnt often because you have much lighter skin tones, then a checkup at least once a year would definitely be appropriate. If you don't burn in the sun and you've never gotten a sunburn before, do you need to do a full body skin check for moles and skin cancer every year? I would probably say no, but you should get one baseline checkup to see that you don't have some abnormal mole that you were born with or developed over time that ends up being a cancer and you just didn't see it because it was on your back or something like that. So baseline checkup, and then the dermatologist will tell you, do you need to come back every year, every 6 months, or maybe we see you in 5 years.
I've never actually been to a dermatologist, but I want to get, and a lot of my questions are selfish questions I'm asking just for me. Yeah, I just think it's important to stay on top of it. You know, prevention, best medicine. You know, ounce of prevention, what was it? An ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure. So just check, like you said, if you see something, get it checked out.
What's your skincare hair care routine?
Oh man, put me on the spot here. Well, like I said, it's not regular, but after chatting with you, now I'm going to actually get back on it because I was scared because every time I put something on my face, I start getting a pimple and I'm like, I got to be on camera, you know? And so, you know, but your comforting words of it's clearing it out of the system. Now I'll give it a little bit more time. I remember trying a retinol. It created some hyperpigmentation because I ended up going out in the sun afterwards. And that was like, man, how did I, and you know, research, and obviously it makes it more susceptible to burning, right? Retinols do. So do it at night. I've learned that. So like I said, I got vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, do like the moisturizer, Noxzema. Sometimes I have the micro.
Oh, where, you use like a derma roller over the face.
Derma
like,
roller, yeah. So every now
the
and
needle,
then.
Like the little needles?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Be careful with those for sure, you know, because you're breaking holes in the skin. So, you know, definitely could more infections, more issues, but make sure that the device is clean. I'm always a little cautious with those. I got to build you a routine at this point. So I'll send you a message afterwards with some products I recommend. And we'll start at what's your issues. And then I'll send you a routine that if you stick on it for 3 months, you'll be happy with the results for sure.
I love it, man. I would appreciate that. I love that glow. I want to have that, you know, that nice glow. And also I eat pretty healthy. I eat clean, you know, so I think that's, I don't have too many issues, but it's like, man, once I start putting stuff on my face, that's when the issues start. What about exfoliants? Like, how often should you exfoliate the skin? Cause I know Pharrell, you know, everybody looks at the, you know, the artist Pharrell's like, oh man, he looks 20. He's like 50 or something like that. And he talks about, I exfoliate every day. What's your recs on that?
Yeah, he sent me his skincare line when it first came out, Human Race. It's actually pretty good. Good skincare line. There's a lot of celebrity skincare lines that come out that I'm like, oh man, this is just quick cash grab. But his line is actually quite nice. So you could definitely check that one out. Exfoliation, like I was mentioning earlier, like again, going back to the root of the science, it takes about 28 days for your skin cells to sort of renew. So you don't really need to exfoliate every day because, you know, there's not going to be new skin cells every day, essentially, you know, starting at the bottom. And, you know, once you've exfoliated away those top skin cells, you know, you need time essentially for your barrier to kind of repair itself. So I recommend exfoliating like once or twice a week, really. And that's the maximum. But I do think there's benefit in that. It's going to improve your complexion. It's going to improve the texture of the skin. But, you know, just no more than really twice a week.
Well, Dr. Shah, I want to play a quick game. This is something I play with every guest. It's called the five best. So it's kind of like a rapid fire game.
Okay. I like it.
Just throw it back at me. So when would you say was the best time in your life?
I'm living it, I guess. And every time I pivot from that, I kind of recalibrate and try to make sure I'm living my best life so I don't have any regrets. So I feel like, you know, every part of my life has been a lesson. I know this is supposed to be rapid fire, but it's sort of made me who I am today. So I can't say that any period I regret, and I can't say that right now I'm not living sort of my best version of myself every day. And if I felt like I wasn't, I would make drastic changes to realign with what I felt was the right path forward.
That's the best answer, I think, because it's like now is alive, you know, like it's this moment is like it's living, it's moving. So it's got to be the best, right? You can't hold on to it. I love that answer. What would you say was the best advice you ever got?
One of the best things, especially when I started on social media, was that my mentor basically told me, you know, you can continue to do this, you can continue to grow, but always remember who you are, and always remember to be ethical and honest along the way. And that means saying no to some of the big deals. It means that maybe you won't be as wealthy today, but you'll be able to sleep well at night. And so I think trying to always remember who you are, there's a really good story in the beginning of the book, The Alchemist, where the basically wise man tells the boy, you know, you have to focus on you have to focus on basically two things in life, like what's in front of you, but also like kind of remembering what's important at the same time. And so there's a lot of distractions in life. So I feel like if you always remember like your core values while you experience the beauty of the world, because you have to do both. You can't just kind of be a hermit where you just like kind of close off to the world. So explore the world, but remember who you are. And I think that's probably the best advice as you navigate and grow in this world. And I kind of try to stick and recalibrate to that every time I feel like I've veered off course at all.
Love that. What was the best investment you ever made? Financial or non-financial, it can be just, you know.
I would say that probably my wife, you know, and it's not like a financial investment by any means, but, you know, I think having a life partner that, you know, you can be with during the good times and the bad times, that is selfless and wants nothing of you, but to see you succeed and you grow together as a family, I think that that is probably the best use of your time. You know, when everything is stripped away from you, it's like all you have left really is the family that you've built. And I think that that's probably where not enough people focus their time and energy. And so I'm very grateful for her.
Awesome. What would you say is the best quote you ever heard?
I think about a lot of what's going on right now. I'm a big quote guy. I love quotes. And I love the book, The Alchemist. So I could give you a ton of quotes from The Alchemist. But it's something that's going on right now in the world. And I think a lot of people feel frustrated. And, you know, there have been many moments in history where it feels like everything in life is not fair. And there's this quote from Max Planck, who is a physicist, essentially says that people don't change. It's just younger people grow up with a different viewpoint, and then they became the change makers, and then they changed the world essentially. And so sometimes you can feel frustrated that you think the world is not working out in a fair and just way, but a lot of times people grow up and they have different opinions and they have different viewpoints, and that's kind of what moves the needle. And so that's why awareness, I think, is really important. This is an extreme tangent, but I do have hope that younger generations are going to make this world a better place. And you can feel like everything is against you, but it does change with time. And we've seen this through history, and we do move towards a better place. And so that Max Planck quote essentially about, you know, people not changing, but essentially the world changing as younger people develop new ideas, I think is something to remember when you feel like powerless, essentially.
Yeah, Max Planck was a legend. Planck Lane. brilliant physicist. But I guess that brings me to the last question, which is the magic wand question. If I gave you a magic wand and say you can make a wish, any wish with this magic wand, and I told you point this wand at the planet Earth, and when you woke up, that magic wand wish would be granted. Dr. Shah, what would your magic wand wish be?
My wish for the world is that we see the humanity in everyone. I think if that core basics of, there's a lot of tribalism, there's a lot of nationalism, there's a lot of times where you look at somebody and you try to say, you're not me and I'm not you. Yeah. And when you do that, when you dehumanize people or you make them different than you, you can justify the actions that you would never otherwise justify within your own clan, essentially. And so I think a lot of the problems in this world could be solved if we looked at everybody as an equal human being and started there, because you would treat people differently. If you saw somebody hungry, you would feed them. If you thought they were your kin, you would take care of them. You'd give them warmth. You'd give them shelter. You wouldn't harm them. But I think that people create a lot of division in this world when we're all more alike than we are different. So my magic wand was, if we could make everyone see the humanity in others, I think that that would be a starting point to make the world a better place.
Brilliant. Dr. Shah, you have blown my mind in more ways than you know. Thank you so much for coming on the Sauna Sessions. You're welcome here anytime. The knowledge that you gave it's going to change me, my routines, and just how you ended it too, man. The us versus them mentality that we have in the world. I mean, if we could change that and be more just human, you know, just land at human and stay there, what a world that would be.
Thank you. And you're a very inspiring guy, I will say. You know, you're very talented. You know, you have a gift and you haven't wasted that gift. So you have a gift of communication, gift of poetry, a gift of putting into words what a lot of people can't. summarize and put out in the world. And so you've used that gift, I think, to make people's lives better. And I think that's the impact I hope to have on the world one day. And so, you know, congratulations to you and everything that you've built.
Thank you, my brother. Well, you're doing it. You're doing it. You're making the impact already. And you got another ally. Let's get the world healthy in every way that we can.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Dr. Shaw, for coming on the Sauna Sessions. And thank you guys for listening to another episode. Make sure you comment, make sure you subscribe, and check out next week for a new episode of Sauna Sessions. Peace.